$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with here my co-host, Rick Maxian.
Hello.
Hello, Richard.
And Brian Higgins.
Hey, hey, hey.
Howdy ho to you, sir. How are we all doing tonight, gentlemen?
Ah, great.
We are in a new month. We are in the month of April.
Ah. I'm doing awful.
Oh, what's the matter, Brian?
April Fools.
Oh, I was going to say, April brings many things. It brings showers, apparently. April showers.
I'm very glad flowers. That you gentlemen showered.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Every,
I use some Irish spring soap.
It every says April, we shower once.
Yes. By Menon.
Ah, I
and
sent you that.
It also brings April Fool's jokes, which was kind of we pulled a fast one last week on the Cinemaniacs.
I don't know about fast.
That was a really,
long episode.
It was like an hour and a half.
It was longer than our cutting edge episode.
They were about the same, actually.
I checked the feed. It looked longer. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. We did a fake reviews it. Of a movie that could have existed in the 80s called Space Force.
Didn't.
It did not. We actually had some feedback from a few of you Cinemaniacs that we got your leg. We pulled your leg. Is that the saying?
We got your leg.
Got your nose.
Yeah, that
got
makes
your wallet.
More sense.
Yeah, the movie Space Force that we did a full reviews of was in fact fake, but we all had a good time, didn't we?
We did.
It was
a great time.
Yeah. So usually when we do a reviews, this is a bit of the conundrum by reviewing a fake movie is we usually share some fun facts about that movie. But while we made this up entirely as we went along, I thought it might be interesting. Gentlemen, is there any kind of fictional fun facts that you might want to throw out about the making of this movie that didn't really exist?
Fun facts, you
well,
say.
Well, I'll throw out a fun fact, so which we mentioned at the end of the full reviews, it part of the fake cast list is we had the actor Mark Vincent, which is the real name of Vin Diesel.
Yes.
And we did mention David Adkins,
who is Sinbad.
Yep. And then we said a Russian guy who was named Gordon Shumway, which is the real name of Alf from the TV show Alf. So.
Yes.
So that would be one of our fun facts that would be on our kind of IMDb trivia.
Yeah.
If this movie were to appear on that. But other than that, I mean, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, I mean, we didn't really have rhyme and reason as to who exactly appeared in this movie. We just thought of random 80s actors.
Yeah, we sat here for a while just brainstorming.
It was B and C movie actors.
But we
not
did
all of
there
them.
Was there
D
was
movie.
Some
character actors.
There was some rhyme and reason that went into it. We started with Michael Dudikoff.
Yes.
Like that was our starting point.
That
we're going to make
depth,
a Michael Dudikoff movie. And building off of that, that's where we went with Sam Furstenberg as the director.
Because he had directed the previous American Ninja movies. So we're
which
like,
also
keep
had
that director.
Steve James in them.
Yes, exactly.
So we started building it around that premise of, okay, these
tough
were
guy.
Frequent collaborators. Like, what else is something that might have happened during this time?
Yes, exactly.
If this is true, what else is true?
And then we were thinking, like, you know, who plays politicians all the time? James Rebhorn.
Yep.
Stacy Keach was always a go-to guy back in the day. Holds gravitas.
Gravitas.
We had to throw in T.K. Carter
for our
Good Morning Miss Bliss fans.
Well, we are, on this podcast, we are always fans of Saved by the Bell, Good Morning Miss Bliss, and, of course, Punky Brewster. So you got to go with T.K. was a good guy to add to the team.
I agree.
I threw in, I think Brian and I collaborate to throw in Rick's most hated character, Marlene. Played by the great Wendy Jo Sperber.
Yep.
Most famous from Back to the Future as Marty's sister.
Yep.
But in a lot of different things. Oh, we brought up Bachelor Party because both her and Dudikoff were in Bachelor Party.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is we do have to connect the two movies.
Well, that.
Do you even have one?
Well, I do. See, I actually connected the last actual reviews that we did, which was Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
To this movie, but do that, like, Brian, would you just list off the entire cast we came up with just to kind of get the gears going in your head as to who we could connect to in this movie?
Yeah. So we had Michael Dudikoff, Tate Donovan. By the way, this is the order at which we came up with many of these.
Yes, probably, yep.
John Ashton, Mark Sinclair, or Vin Diesel, Billy Drago, T.K. Carter, Wendy Jo Sperber, John Davis Chandler, Robin Lively, David Adkins,
ooh.
Sinbad. Steve James, Charles Martin Smith, and Karen Witter.
Yeah.
Which I do want to also note for the fun fact. For Karen Witter, she was the Playboy Playmate of the Month for March 1982. She has a number of acting credits.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
Including One Life to Live, Dharma and Greg, The X-Files, and Malcolm in the Middle.
You know, these are some good points that we should probably
NYPD
save for
Blue.
Our deep dive of where some of these actors went.
Yeah.
That we threw in there.
Yes.
But so I just want to point out, I wanted to point that little detail
no,
out.
No, that's good. That's good.
I like
but,
it.
To Rick's point, I did make some connections. Now, with all these, because we mentioned it, that was kind of like one of the things we played dumb. Was like, what a random assembly of actors in this movie. What's the coincidence? Because we picked it. But I swear, and maybe we could come up with
you
it, that there was going to be a direct connection. But, I mean, I didn't think about this too much, but I was able to come up with several two-steps,
okay,
which are pretty good. So I'll share those right now. Maybe we can think of a direct connection along the way. The first one, which I thought was pretty cool, is because in Lethal Weapon, the guy who kind of got Riggs and Murtaugh into the mess was this guy, Michael, who had served with Murtaugh, and this was the actor Tom Atkins, who we'd actually looked up. And he was in Escape from New York with Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kurt Russell obviously was in the sequel, Escape from L.A., with Stacy Keach. So I used sequels, two sequels of the same movie franchise to connect the two movies. Similar, Tom Atkins, again, was in Escape to New York with Kurt Russell. And then Kurt Russell was in both Furious 7 and The Fate of the Furious with Mark Vincent, a.k.a. Vin Diesel. So there we go there. And then finally, Mel Gibson, the star of Lethal Weapon, was in, they brought him in as one of the tough guys in the assemblage of all the guys in the Expendables movies. So Mel Gibson showed up in Expendables 3 with Arnold. Mm-hmm. And then Arnold was in a movie we did a reviews of on this podcast, Jingle All the Way, with Mr. David Atkins, Sinbad.
Ah.
So there you go. So there were three two-steps.
Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah.
You did a dance. You did a two-step.
I did two-step. Two steps forward, two steps back.
Well, now you're just in the same spot.
Now you've not gone anywhere.
Did you realize that Tate Donovan and Vin Diesel were reunited in The Pacifier?
Oh, Tate Donovan's in that? I saw that movie a while ago. I didn't know Tate Donovan was in that.
They were reunited. You mean they met for the first time on the back?
No, they were first in Space Force.
We're creating a Mandela effect of Space Force.
I like it.
We're going to make it real.
That's
into
fine.
Your brains. Yeah. So those are the connections I was able to come up with. And obviously, you know, no real fun facts because we had fun making it. I guess that's the fun fact.
I would
fact.
Have to say, we spent more time making this movie than any other, like, watching.
Any other project.
Than watching another movie or anything.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't know. We often do deep dives on the movies, but that was a pretty. Oh, you got something, Brian.
So it's a TV movie.
Okay, we'll take it because
Danny Glover and Tate Donovan were both in America's Dream.
Oh, what's that?
It's a TV movie with three tales of African American characters, and they were
like Tate Donovan.
They were in the same section of the film.
Okay, so it was like different segments.
Yeah, three segments.
Okay.
They were both in the segment. Long Black Song.
Oh.
It also has Wesley Snipes and The Boy Who Painted Christ Black.
Okay.
Wow.
Happy Easter, everyone.
And on that note.
Yeah, I know, right?
I think we'll move on to the next segment since that's kind of all we have about our fake movie. So moving on from our April Fool's joke movie, we'll jump right into a King of the Thing.
King of the Thing.
About the King of the Thing. Dang. That's this week's
music. Is that
music.
This week's theme song?
Yeah, we're just going to switch it up every week. One of these days, I'll actually take the time to come up with
no,
a theme song. No, probably not.
So we discussed a number of different ideas for this week's King of the Thing.
Uh-huh.
But I thought in the spirit of April Fool's Day, I would take it back to my
Queen
childhood.
Oh.
Back to the days where I would have been old enough to watch a movie like Space Force.
Okay.
Where Space Force could have come out. Back
I'm
to the days
to
where you would
go
to like The Wiz or you would go to like magic shops.
Can you explain what The Wiz is for the non-locals?
Well, The Wiz is a hobby store.
Yeah.
And
used to be
more of a hobby store.
It's more gaming now, but it used to be just general hobbies.
Yeah. And game, like
general
game
hobby.
Games like like board games.
Board
and stuff.
Games.
Now it's like
now it's trinkets, weird
Dungeons
items.
And Dragons,
yeah, now it's
and,
like
Magic
you know,
the Gathering.
Yeah,
type
strategy
stuff.
Game, board game, more collectibles for those games nowadays.
Now,
yeah.
Mark, I'm sure you went to a lot of those types of stores with your brother.
Yes,
and he would want to buy the Magic tricks.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
And I'm sure you noticed every single one of these stores right next to the Magic tricks. They had those little pranks.
Yes,
the classic
the joke
jokes.
Gifts.
Gifts, the little prank things that you would pull as a child that no one actually fell for.
And your parents, well, most of the time your parents would not want to buy them for you.
They wouldn't want to buy them because they were rude and crude, but they were the foundation of your comedic sensibility.
That's true.
For the ages of like 4 to 7.
Well, I was going to say, my comedic sensibility has not changed since. That's where it started and just plateaued from there.
No, I think it's coming down now.
Okay.
It plateaued at 7. It's been just
if
going downhill
since. If I can't use a plastic prop to make a joke point, I can't survive in this digital age.
You were hilarious 30 years ago.
I was a rave at all the bar mitzvahs.
I think back to those great
pranks
of your childhood.
Did you say crepes?
Crepes
oh.
of your childhood.
I could go for a crepe.
I could That'd go for delicious. A crepe. Should we take a crepe break?
We should take a crepe break.
Crepe break.
Can people?
Is that a Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
I was going to say Grape Ape.
Grape Ape.
Grape Ape's Crepe Break.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a tongue twister if I've ever heard one.
That'll be next April Fool's Day.
Grape Ape's Crepe Break. So those classic pranks.
Yes.
That you used to play as a child. Well, I have taken 8 of them.
Oh.
And I've seeded them.
I'm interested to see if they're ones I've experienced with or not.
I think you probably will have experience with most of,
okay.
if not all.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So we're pitting pranks.
Pranks against each other. And we will figure out what is the ultimate prank.
The ultimate prank.
The number one seed, naturally, is the classic
whoopee cushion.
Whoopee cushion.
Ah, nice. Yes.
Even
that
though
was great.
Even though how people always could see it. It's one of those ones
you can't
hide.
You know, no, it's one of those things where you
it's
have
like
to
hiding
slip it in right when someone was about to sit down.
Yeah.
And you'd have to time it. And it was one of those things where I think when I was probably 8 or 9 in elementary school that there would be times you would daydream and go, oh my God, wouldn't it be so great to put the whoopee cushion under the teacher's chair in the whole class. You'd be God, that whole elementary school class, if you could just get that whoopee cushion under the teacher.
The only problem I had was a lot of the teachers had softer chairs, so it didn't get the full effect.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Well, yeah.
You need that.
You need the
hard
pressure. Yeah, I gotcha.
There was one time as a kid where I had a whoopee cushion on me, and I decided
at
I wanted to prank my grandmother with
yes.
it.
Yes.
Oh, no.
And we were having a picnic, and we're sitting at the picnic table. She's next to me. I have the whoopee cushion already in my hands. I'm like,
you have it
Grammy,
blown up, too?
Yes. I was like, you should stand up right now. And she's like, why? I was like, you just should. And she did. And so then I put it on her seat and I was like, now you should sit down.
This is like
you're like walking her through the steps.
And then she sat down like very gingerly on it. And she's like, oh my. It didn't quite have the desired effect. It didn't really play.
It would be funny if you just like took out the instruction booklet from it and was like, Grandma, step one.
This is like
stand.
This is like Penn and Teller just talking. About like I'm gonna show you the
yeah,
trick.
Oh,
I'm gonna
yeah,
do
yeah.
it. I'm gonna do it right in front of you and tell you what I'm doing in the same time.
Yeah.
You still won't understand it. And Grandma sits down.
That's a very well deserved one seed based on just our level of conversation
classic,
there.
Classic.
Oh, no,
so it's
I
up
like
against
it.
the 8 seed, which it can be effective.
Ooh.
It's the ice cube with a fly in it.
Oh, the ice cube with the fly, right.
I don't.
You never saw that?
No. It's a plastic ice cube that has
I've seen
fly
something
inside.
No, I was trying to call it. Could you actually put that in a drink?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, I thought that was the point. You know, it's a plastic cube.
You put it in the drink, and then someone gets it, and they go,
there's a fly in my drink.
And not in my soup, waiter. Yeah. My vote is going to be, obviously, based upon which of these two I probably owned. It was definitely the whoopee cushion. I might have had the fly in the cube. I can't recall, but
I had it at one point.
Yes.
I don't even know. I may have had it just because I had a fly in an ice cube by accident.
You had a real one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with whoopee cushion because the other one, nah.
Yeah, 100% whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
I might even have a whoopee cushion somewhere in my house.
You probably
today.
Do. So next we have our four seed.
That's what you tell your wife every time. Oh, hey, I hon, sat on that whoopee cushion
hey,
again.
Hey, hon, want to make whoopee? No, really. It's a whoopee cushion.
No. I thought you were going to make like whoopee pies.
Oh.
She is a good baker.
I could go for a whoopee pie, too. All yeah. right.
Whoopee
crepe,
pie break.
Crepe, crepe and whoopee pies.
Whoopee pie time?
Yeah. Grape ape.
Whoopee Goldberg's whoopee break. Pie break.
Whoop. Oh my God, that's two April Fools.
I know,
away.
We're going. We're on a roll.
So up next, we have our four seed, which is a combination.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two items here.
Oh,
and
combo.
It's the plastic or rubber vomit and poop.
I was going to say, the fake dog do had to come up at some
yes.
point.
Yeah.
I feel like I've never actually seen the fake vomit in person. I feel like that was like a gimmick on sitcoms that I would see.
No, I've had the fake, the fake vomit.
I've definitely seen the fake dog do every time in the store.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen the fake vomit. And I remember seeing it at the Wiz. It was hanging up on, you know, those racks that used to spin around?
Yeah,
that like little
the
things?
Spinny racks.
Yeah, it was one of, there's a
That's
piece
their
on
official
there.
Name.
Yeah, spinny racks. And I remember it, and I was like, that doesn't even look fake. I mean, it looks like so, it's like over the top fake. It just looks like chunky plastic.
If you take that and you put it on a table.
Yeah.
It looks kind of
real.
Well,
it's just gross.
It does?
It's just gross in general. Oh. But you know what the fake vomit always reminded me of was the omelet that Latrine makes for the Sheriff of Rottingham
yes.
and Robin Hood Men in Tights. That's what I always thought, pictured. Okay, so
used
we got
to be shithead.
Fake vomit and fake dew.
That's our four seed. And our five seed is the snapping gum.
Oh, I love the snapping gum.
Snapping
I
gum
had
where
that.
You reach to get the slice
yep.
of gum.
Like a tiny mousetrap type
yep.
thing.
And it just snaps your
snaps
finger.
Snaps your fingernail. That one was great. It's also kind of mean.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just the right amount of pain
it
for
is.
A practical
right.
joke.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, it probably goes on the lines with what I'm sure you're going to bring up later.
Yes.
I feel
so.
Like, here's what I feel. If it was fake vomit versus snapping gum would win. But because it's fake poo.
Well,
I
it's
think
vomit
fake,
and poo.
I know, but I think poo wins.
Okay, so that's Rick's vote. So
yeah.
My criteria that I've kind of been following and I might stick with is which one did I enjoy enough to actually purchase? I'd always see the poo in the store and go, it's still kind of too gross even though it's fake. I had the snapping gum, so I'm going with snapping gum.
I'm pretty sure I owned all of these at one time or another. So for my criteria, it's what gives me the most enjoyment if someone discovers this effect.
Okay.
And you did
there
this
you
to your grandmother.
These are all pranks that Brian did
Actually,
to his grandmother.
I might have had the fake poo and put it on the seat, too.
Oh,
next
on
to
the whoopee cushion?
Next to it.
So she thought that came out when she sat down?
That's awesome.
That's a one. Do prank right there.
But I think I have to go with the snapping gum.
Ah, hooray. Also, I'm trying to remember now, they might not show up on the list, but if you recall, something similar to snapping gum, or might have been ink gum, there were a number
yes.
of pranks from Pee-wee's Big Adventure that I always remember.
Well, there were a lot of gum pranks, whether it was, you know, turns your mouth black
yep.
or
yep.
Just awful tasting gum.
Yeah, bad tasting gum.
Sour
right.
gum.
Yeah.
I decided to limit it just to the snapping
yep.
gum. I think that is the most effective form.
Yes.
Just because it does the right amount of harm. The second you're affecting their appearance or
the
you're giving them foul breath.
The like, acceptable limit of pain.
Yeah, it's there's,
the
there's
pain
a threshold.
Threshold right. Yeah.
yeah. So now, next, our number two seed, of course, is the classic enjoyment buzzer. The joy buzzer.
The
hand
joy
buzzer.
That's the full name?
Well, I'm pretty sure Mr. Burns calls it that
the
at some
enjoyment
point.
Buzzer. Yeah, the classic joy buzzer, right?
And that is up against what I've dubbed the dollar snatcher.
Ah, where it's tied to a string.
But this one specifically had a button that you would press.
Oh, and it
to
would just
pull
zip
it
back.
Back in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did have both of these.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. Ha, this is a tough one because I feel like at one point I had the dollar snatcher, but yet I didn't really implement it like the way I'd see on TV. Because obviously when you saw it on TV, someone would like leave a dollar on a sidewalk.
And yeah, then,
and
they'd be hiding
and
in the bushes.
And then a guy would be like, oh, a dollar, and then you zip it back. So I never actually pulled that on the unsuspecting public.
Yeah.
Where the Joy Buzzer, I definitely did all the time, but I felt that it didn't have the desired effect that I thought. I thought it was going to shock people.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just kind of like a startle type of thing.
It makes a sound,
but
that's
better.
It's discomfort on the palm of their hand.
Yes.
From the metal piece.
It's a bit of a surprise, but also the fact that wearing the Joy Buzzer, you could see it on the outside of your finger.
Yeah.
You could see
and
this metal strap.
As a child, there were very few reasons to be shaking people's hands.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, hello, I'm a 6-year-old businessman.
Chompers, how goes it? Let's shake hands.
I don't know. I'm a little torn on this one. Rick, where are you leaning?
I'm leaning towards the buzzer.
Okay.
Only because I had it.
Yeah,
I used it.
We all had the buzzer.
And that's where I would lean.
Okay.
I didn't really use the other one. I never really thought it was like, So.
I feel like the Dollar Snatcher is a better prank.
Yeah,
but
I feel like it's funnier.
I also feel like every time I use it, well, one, it was very quick to break.
Yes. But you could make your own version of it.
You could,
too.
But it's not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But two, I would be like putting the dollar on and putting the dollar down and hiding like 2 feet away because it wasn't that long of a cable. And then I'd have to be like, hey, Grammy, there's a dollar.
Again, his grandmother. His poor grandmother.
I didn't have friends.
Well, let me ask you this about the Joy Buzzer, though. Did you, because I did experience this a few times where it wouldn't work. Like, you'd try it on someone.
Yeah,
and, like,
you hadn't turned it or
you
something.
You hadn't turned it or it, like, it prematurely buzzed. Hey, we've all had issues with premature buzzing, guys.
I wonder if
this is the X-rated version of B-movie.
I know, right? I wonder if you could make it better now because you could have like a small battery or something.
Well, now you
could
have it actually shock you.
Yeah. Just have a taser. Hey,
no,
hey, buddy.
Hey, but oh, I just knocked you out cold.
Don't joy buzz me, bro.
Now I think you could do it much better. I remember the last time we had to like twist it.
Yeah.
To like charge
bop
it up.
It. I'm going to go with Brian. I'll let you be the deciding factor there. But I'm leaning towards the Dollar Snatcher because I did enjoy the Joy Buzzer as a kid, but I feel like in my adult age, the money grabber is more funny to me at this
point.
Well,
all right.
So I'm going with that one.
I feel the same way if that's the...
It's whatever you want to go by, so that's how I'm picking.
I feel like now, yes, the dollar is a better joke, but I feel like since this is from our youth, I feel like the buzzer was a better...
I feel like it let me down more than it gave me enjoyment.
You had a terrible buzzer.
Right.
You know, I went with Mark on the last one, and I'm leaning towards Mark, but I'm giving it to Rick.
All right,
yay.
Fair. That's fair.
That doesn't really matter.
I'm, I'm okay with both of them.
So next, we have our 3 seed, which, of course, is the can of mixed nuts containing the spring snake.
Spring snakes.
I love those.
Versus the 6 seed, the squirt either ring or flower.
Okay.
Again, with the ring, it's something handheld within the palm of your hand.
And it did contain water, not acid, as we saw in Tim Burton's Batman.
Correct.
You know, the Joker spraying the acid.
The snake thing, I actually think I got
mixed nuts is... That's so classic, that mixed nuts.
It is,
snake.
And I actually think I think my uncles must have done it to me one time where they're like, do you want some of these?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And then they're like, ha, and I got scared. And I was like, this is the worst thing ever.
I always love that prank, but I do have to realize it as much as a kid, but obviously... Thinking back, I might have been slightly disappointed how the brand of nuts is so completely fake.
Yes.
If you look at it. Yeah. Like, it's not, like, you'd be like, oh, if this was Planters, this would be perfect.
Oh, my God.
It's like Dr. Wacko's nuts.
Why wouldn't Planters make that now?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's call Mr. Peanut up.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Should we do a peanut break?
What? Sure. With crepes.
With crepes and whoopie pies.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just getting hungry, I think.
I think you are.
So I think it's safe to say that the spring snakes in the mixed nuts can is going to take this round.
Yep.
All right.
It was kind of a pain to get those back in to load it up for the next person.
It was. It was.
But the payoff was wonderful.
So next, we are going to our one seed versus our five seed, which is the whoopee cushion versus the snapping gum.
I'm surprised you don't have, like, the fake nail thing. Like, nail through the finger or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
I
think that's a more obscure one.
It's an honorable mention.
Speaking of honorable mentions real quick,
let's do an honorable mention round.
Where does the rubber chicken fall? Is that considered a prank? I don't even know.
I don't think so either.
I think it's a prank.
But it would be purchased in the same section.
Yes.
You know?
It's a joke?
Yeah. What is the joke with it even?
I don't know. I just remember a Fozzie Bear holding it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what would be some other ones? I'm trying to think.
There would be different types of glasses, like glasses that have the eyes printed on them, or glasses that have mirrors so you can see behind you.
What about the X-ray specs that didn't actually work?
Yeah.
Those were in every comic book.
Every comic book. What about just like a pair of like fake redneck rubber teeth or something like that? That would be considered.
Fake teeth were always very popular.
Yeah. The arrow through the head, like the Steve Martin.
Yeah.
It's like the nail. Yeah. But on a larger scale and less believable.
Right. I feel like there are a whole lot of like nail through a body part type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shock pen.
Okay, shock pen. Yeah.
Like a lot of things.
The zappy, right.
Like itching powder type things.
Oh, itching powder. Right. Mm-hmm.
Fake scratch tickets.
Oh, yeah. Those are still popular. I remember
those. Stink bomb.
Stink bombs.
I think that was just
mean.
That's just
but
a weapon.
Do you remember someone did that at like a middle school dance?
Just stunk up the hallway for like a week.
Yeah. It was awful.
Was that you, Rick?
No.
Okay.
That was me after
He's
going
just
to the bathroom.
No, because we're on the record.
Did you ever have rattlesnake or alligator eggs?
I don't think I had them, but I was aware of them.
I remember that. Where
it was like a little envelope.
I remember that.
What about
and there would be like a little metal thing with a rubber band inside that you would wind up, and then like when you went to open the envelope, it would just start rattling around.
Oh.
What about like some of those Mexican jumping beans?
Oh, yeah.
You know, are those considered?
Sure.
Well, I'll just share a story while we're looking up these honorable mentions that while we were around April Fool's, I was on the phone with my brother and he said, oh, are you going to do the classic prank? Because growing up, we'd always do the prank where we'd put the rubber band on the hose on the sink. So when you turn on the sink, the hose would shoot you because the handle would be tied down with the rubber band. So that was always the classic prank we would do. Usually to our parents.
Your parents would have been like, what the hell?
But I did one time actually do, because obviously I was inspired by a lot of these shows I saw, Bart Simpson, that ruffian, the bucket of water on top of the, you know, you'd have
the door.
Your door at like a 45 degree angle.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad came in and he knew what was going on and he put his hand up and he caught the bucket.
Oh.
And so he like thwarted me. He saw it coming from like a mile
you
away.
You guys used water as like a very powerful.
Exactly. Water is a powerful.
Now, did you ever have
enemy?
Did you ever have fake ketchup or mustard bottles?
I don't think I did, no.
So I had one as a kid and I remember trying to fool my grandfather, different side of the family.
I was just going to say.
He spread out the pranks.
Yes, just with that generation,
just to
though.
Grandparents.
So it was a ketchup squirt bottle like you'd find at a diner. But instead of ketchup inside, it was just a red piece of string. So that when you squeeze it, it would just be a piece of string comes in. So the idea is like you squeeze it on someone's shirt and they go, ah! And then they go, oh, no, it was just string. Ah, I'm fine. Yeah, I tried that on my grandfather
a Melissa and Doug toy that my kids have now.
Yes.
So
my grandfather
Melissa
was
John
a...
No, Melissa and Melissa
it's a kid's
Doug
thing. My grandfather was a retired Chicago cop at the time. He did not like.
I was gonna say he
did
he
not
was
like
not
the,
having
the
any.
Ketchup.
Oh,
he's like, what are you doing?
So breaking wind with a whoopee cushion from the Windy City.
Oh, but your story actually made me think, which I'm sure is a real product, but it was more on TV and movies. Obviously, when we did the reviews of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the disappearing and reappearing ink.
Yep.
Like that was a
Invisible
joke thing
ink
too.
was a big thing.
Invisible ink. Yeah.
All right, let's move on with the bracket.
I think that's a good amount of honorable mentions. There would also be like soaps, I think.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Probably.
They would like turn your skin black or red.
Oh.
Or, yeah, here's a blood red one.
Blood red soap?
Rubber
it's like
chocolates.
The Shining in the shower.
Shining shower.
Garlic
the
candy.
The
oh, fake boogers.
Magic nose goblins.
Yeah. stick on coins that you can't pick up.
Oh, yep, yep. I remember those. Yep.
Super glued coins.
Yep. The rubber pencil.
Ah, the rubber pencil, yep.
Which that's I had good. One of, and then I realized or how just pointless the, it was.
There's a whole category of just oversized objects.
Yes.
Giant pencil. Giant calculator.
What about, like, fake animals, like fake snakes and fake...
Oh, yeah, yeah, fake snake or a worm or something, yeah.
Especially if you...
Fake T-Rex.
Why would you be scared of a worm?
Some people are scared of worms.
How to eat fried worms.
Well, I mean, they shouldn't be scared of them if they're going to eat them.
I was just going to say, they're not going to be scared at all.
All right, so that brings us now to our next round, which is the whoopee cushion versus the snapping gum.
Ah, whoopee cushion, hands down. You can't beat that compared to the snapping gum.
I think whoopee cushion
it
is going to...
stood the test of time.
I wonder if they have like a... Oh, yeah, I've seen them, like a fart machine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
could put it next to somebody and press a button.
Yeah, there's now like the ones...
The remote control.
But yeah, they're terrible.
Or the little like Tyco ones with the different buttons.
But they're like
know.
Terrible sounding. They need much more lively sounding.
And it lacks the finesse.
They need to survey the crowd like they do in Family Feud.
Well, you know, it's...
Test
it's,
out the different noises.
It's like we talk about on the podcast. A whoopee cushion is a practical effect.
Yes.
Yep.
Whereas a fart machine is a digital effect.
Ah.
It's never going to sound the same or as good as a practical effect.
Well,
indeed.
Until
well
they
put.
Have better speakers.
So I guess whoopee cushion advances, and that brings us to the joy buzzer versus the spring snake.
Spring snakes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with snakes.
Yeah.
100%.
One thing that I appreciate about the spring snake is the fact that at the bottom of the can, they had that little piece of metal and the couple of beans underneath.
To make
so that
it
when
sound,
you shake it.
Sounds like nuts.
Yeah, when you're offering it up, you go, oh, hey, you want some nuts? And you shake it and they hear that sound.
That's brilliant.
It's a well thought.
It is a very well designed product. If you just change that label, it's 100% gold.
Was there a TV show or movie where they worked at a company that just made joke gifts? Oh, I'm thinking, I'm thinking, remember there was a show on NBC called Outsource where he went over to India? I think their company just made joke gifts.
I think you're right.
And they outsourced it to the, I think that was the show.
I don't remember that.
It was a funny show. I liked it.
I never watched
it. It was funny. All right. This is going to be an epic showdown here.
Yeah. So we have our number one versus our number three, the whoopee cushion. Classic.
Oh,
whoopee,
classic, yes.
Whoopee
versus
cushion.
The mixed nuts spring snakes.
Oh, man. These are both timeless pranks.
Part of it, I think, we have to talk about the reaction to the prank.
Okay.
I mean, the whoopee cushion, if you catch somebody off guard and they have no feeling in their ass.
Put that caveat.
I mean, I did have a professor.
I have numb ass.
I did have a professor who was really old and she just kept farting during class.
Yeah.
Without realizing
it. Well, that was going to be my question. Is, has anyone sat on the whoopee cushion and thought it was them that actually
did it? Well, that's
the
thing. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, if you found somebody that actually worked on and they, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't even know. Like, they, like, are like,
I think that would be the pinnacle of the whoopee cushion.
That would be perfect.
Side note, just popped in my head. Yeah. We already talked about the honorable mentions, but sitting down. I forgot to associate that with the cellophane on the toilet.
Oh,
that was another.
That's
one.
A cruel one.
Yeah,
a,
which was a mean
that's,
one.
That's a prank.
But it just made me think of that because you sit down as well. Yes. You know, so okay, go back to the whoopee cushion.
So, oh man,
this is tough.
This is tough.
I think
because
you get
I don't
more
think
genuine
you,
surprise
out of the snakes.
Out of the snakes.
I think you're right, and that's what I'm leaning
that way as well. Which one today do I find more funny? Like, I feel like the whoopee cushion has lost its appeal and its effect.
Farting is funny.
It's always funny. But there's other ways to do it.
I think the
you can make the noise
factor.
With your mouth.
You can make the noise with your mouth. You can just do the armpit
you just
thing.
Crouch behind someone when they're sitting down and just
and do a raspberry.
Reddit lip.
Reddit and let it rip.
Reddit lip.
I'm on the snakes.
The snakes bring me back to a time and a place.
And
it
still
like,
works.
I feel like you could still do it.
And it's
I feel
still
like
surprising.
I've seen it in a recent movie where they brought it back again and it made me laugh.
And like, I also, like, it's one where if I gave you one of those cans today and then I gave you a handful of nuts and said, hey, go see if someone else wants some nuts.
I would try it out on people for an entire entire week until I got sick of it.
Yeah.
Where the whoopee cushion, I do it once and I'd be like, I'm done.
I feel like it might work, especially if you have like a handful of real nuts and you're just popping in your mouth and go, oh, you want some nuts?
Yeah.
And people take it and go, ah.
Yeah, I feel like, and as we're older now, I feel like we could sell the story a little bit better.
Exactly.
Then we could, as a kid, need,
hey, how's some nuts?
You need the surroundings of it. Because, hey, stand up, now sit down is pretty much the best way to get someone to sit on a whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
Whereas,
or just hide in a bush and wait till someone sits and be like, oh, I gotcha. Where I like, we can do like a whole long con, which just results in the snakes.
Although,
and Ocean's 13.
Yes. If you're in a church, you probably could do the whoopee cushion very effectively.
Silent, completely silent.
Well, because the church has a lot of standing up and sitting down. Yeah. So if you hit someone right when they're sitting down.
And it's solid. It's the pews.
Okay, so,
I mean, you're talking
so here's
like
the ultimate
loudest
factor. We're saying, which environment do these pranks work best? Whoopee cushion in church.
Well,
mixed nuts at a party, and we all know I'm more of a party guy, so I'm going with the snakes in the mixed nuts can.
Yeah, but wait a second. Just imagine you being at church. Now, first off, Mark,
I would not
imagine,
be at church.
All right, imagine that you're at church, though.
Okay.
Imagine how calm and collected everybody else is.
Yeah.
And then the priest goes, you may all sit. And then you sit down. Everyone's quiet, and someone sits down, and then you just hear the loudest. Like, it's going to echo.
But I think it would be even funnier,
gentlemen,
if it was, like, an extended, prolonged.
I mean, I think I'm still going to go with the snakes.
Yeah, we're going with the snakes.
I'm going with the snakes, no doubt. But I do have to say, if
that's pretty funny,
if
though,
by any chance I happen to go before both of you, and I'm having a funeral, and
we need
it happens
cushions
to be in a church.
Yeah.
I give full permission for you to whoopee cushion at that funeral.
And Brian, as we lay you into the ground, we'll throw in a can of mixed nuts and we'll send you off toys style.
No, I want the mixed nuts, the spring snakes to be in the casket.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. So when they open it for the wake, they just come springing out.
And the Joker's laughing bag.
Yes.
I was going to do a fart machine.
But also a whoopee cushion right at the bottom of the grave site.
Oh.
So as soon as the casket goes into the ground.
You got to leave all this in your will, Brian.
Yeah, I know.
This
all right,
is
anyways,
lot.
Winner of King of the Thing.
Snakes
in a can.
The king of
this was the king of the thing. The end. Since we just talked about some pranks, thinking a little bit back about the fake movie that we came up with.
Fooled you.
Is it worth looking up any of our actors we chose?
Well, I want to know what Michael Dudikoff's
doing. Okay. Let's go with Dudikoff. Maybe we'll leave that Dudikoff.
I mean,
we'll
actor.
See who we look up in our edition of Oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore. I mean, I'd love to look up Mark Sinclair.
So Michael Dudikoff is still acting.
I'm sure he's making a lot of
B movies.
He has
four upcoming projects, including Landfill, where he's Mr. Lindbergh.
He's fighting in a garbage dump.
Was it Landfill? Wasn't that?
That's from Beerfest.
Beerfest.
Yeah, Landfill.
That was
his most
character.
Recent credit is Fury of the Fist and the Golden Fleece, where he played Super Boss.
Oh, is it a video game?
He was Commander Shear in Navy SEALs versus Zombies.
Oh, I've seen that like pop up randomly on Showtime or something.
In 1999, in the movie In Her Defense, he played Andrew Garfield.
Oh, that's the from Spider-Man.
Yeah. I mean, the last major project that I think most of us would have recognized as having a theatrical release that he was in was Ringmaster, the Jerry Springer movie.
Oh, right.
He
yes,
played
he
Rusty.
Was in that movie, yeah.
Before that, he was in Musketeers Forever as D'Artagnan.
Oh.
Anyone else in that movie?
It's about a group of ex-secret agents who open a jazz club in Las Vegas.
Of course. The classic Dumas story.
He's still kind of acting, but
yeah.
2018, before that was a couple credits in 2015. He was Tank Dempsey in Zombie Break Room, which was
a
TV series in 2013.
See, I would love for them to make like a second tier Expendables. Well, like let's throw let's do Dudikoff and Billy Blanks and Don the Dragon Wilson.
Yeah.
And like throw all these guys together that make like
well,
the
that should have been it should have been the Asylum version of the Expendables.
Exactly, right. Why have they not made that? That'd be awesome.
He had a big gap between
Casper Van Dien.
You're awesome is not awesome.
It'd be interesting.
He had a big career gap between 2002 and 2013, though.
Okay. So maybe he pulled a hammy.
Maybe he pulled a hammy and it took him 11 years to recover.
Yeah. Hey, I still have pain. I pulled my hammy 13 years ago.
Oh. That was
I
you just making
on
bacon.
Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Anyone else we want to look up from the list? We had some, we definitely had some actors we threw in there that haven't acted recently.
Well, I was mentioning Karen Witter earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Because
she was a playmate.
But it was one of the things that we were discussing and trying to find someone that fit the role. She also had been in the 1980s TV movie, I Married a Centerfold.
Oh, she played the centerfold.
And she was in the new Mike Hammer with Stacy Keach.
Oh.
So they had a reunion in Space
this
Force.
This is amazing. This is awesome.
And she was first young
woman. By the way,
these
are all just fun facts.
Prince
we didn't
of
actually
Bel Air.
Make this.
Yeah, these are all coincidences.
Yes. She was in Prince of Bel Air, not Fresh Prince.
Oh.
It's a TV movie from 1986.
With Mark Harmon?
With Mark Harmon.
Yeah.
And
I
Robert
always thought
Vaughn.
The Fresh Prince of Bel Air was based off of that.
Maybe it was.
That's weird.
And she was on an episode of Cheers. And I think at some point she got, let me check her fun facts and trivia.
Appeared in Space Force. Fun fact.
She was married at one time to Chuck Lorre.
What? So he showed up in one of the post credits of a sitcom, probably?
Probably.
A little note about her. I think we should look up next, Brian. I was looking somewhere, and the latest issue of Entertainment Weekly I got, I do believe it's the 30-year anniversary of one of the most iconic scenes in cinema history, Teen Witches Top That. I think we got to look up Robin Lively, however.
I don't know how it's pronounced.
I don't know how you say it.
It's spelled Lively. It's probably
But they were Lively. Breaking like, down the scene of Top That.
Is she like Blake Lively's mom?
She's actually her sister.
Oh.
She's like... There's like a tier of older siblings, and she was like a much younger one because her older brother is Jason Lively, who played Russ Griswold in European Vacation.
Oh.
The redhead guy.
Really?
Yeah. So like them, they were like the older siblings, and Blake Lively is the much younger sibling. So they must have waited a while, or maybe she was an accident or something.
Oh, God. So she has three upcoming projects. Including Through the Glass Darkly,
yep.
Joining the Race, and Miss
she's
Arizona.
She's still pretty cute. I know she's like older than me.
She was on an episode of Hawaii Five-0 this year, the film Periphery, Small Town
I
Crime.
Saw her pop up
she
a few years
Rush
ago
Hour.
On an episode of The Mentalist.
And Major Crimes, Chasing Ghosts, Body of Proof.
Yeah, all those like procedural things.
She was on an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh.
Oh, that's fun.
Which they did a spoof of Lethal Weapon.
So that's a connection.
There you go.
She was on an episode of CSI, an episode of Psych, again, The Mentalist.
Yes, I saw her in that.
Three episodes of Saving Grace, an episode of 30 Rock, Criminal Minds, Cold Case, Nip Tuck.
Cold Beer.
American Dreams, the TV show, not the film with a Z.
Oh, yes. The TV show, Brittany Snow.
An episode of The Drew Carey Show. Two episodes of JAG. She was in Dream a Little Dream 2 with Corey Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was in the second one? That was horrible.
Yeah, that was a good response.
She was Nancy Stratemeyer.
Sorry, friend, the podcast. Corey
Nancy
Feldman.
Stratemeyer on the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Oh,
one episode.
I love those.
Oh, didn't he get stabbed last week?
Who, Sean Patrick Flannery?
No, Corey Feldman.
We're talking about Young Indiana Jones up here.
Oh, no, but didn't Corey Feldman, I think he got stabbed
last
week.
Oh, no.
Parker Lewis Can't Lose, Karate Kid Part 3.
Yes!
Wow,
Karate Kid Part
her.
3. Right.
That was her next
Holy
role
crap.
After Teen Witch.
I remember that. Yes.
And
what
was
about
in,
After Space Force?
After Space
well,
Force.
Well, that movie doesn't really exist, Rick. You keep forgetting.
After Space Force, she was in one of my favorite Disney original movie series, Not Quite Human.
Ah!
She was Becky Carson.
I just saw Chip Underwood in something today.
Was it
he was
Uncle
the star.
Buck?
No, oh. It was the movie. It was on. It was playing on Showtime. I was eating dinner. Win a date with Ted
you
Hamilton.
Mean Jay Underwood.
Jay Underwood.
He played Chip.
He played Chip. I just call him Chip Underwood. I just put it together.
Hey, there. Name's Chip.
Yeah.
Chip Underwood.
All right. Well, I think that's a good coverage of a couple of the actors. Mrs. Chip Underwood. That's a good coverage of a couple actors.
My favorite one of the not quite human films was still not quite
human.
And I do not believe she was in that one.
Was Alan Thicke in those?
Yes, and he was in there in a dual role in that one because he played Dr. Jonas Carson as well as his robot double, Bonus.
Not Boner. Also with Alan Thicke.
I was just going to say.
Alan Thicke connection. Well, gentlemen, I think we just have time. I don't know if it'd be worth our time or not to throw this in our stack ranking, the movie Space Force. Again, we made up this movie, so pretty much you can compare it to anything. I don't know where we want to throw it. Why don't we, like, at the count of three, maybe throw this in somewhere where we think it might be. So, Space Force, stack rank. What do we rank it? 3, 2, 1, last.
First.
What was number 38?
And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Men are like another species. They're really hard to get through to.
I'm king, and they know it. When I snap my fingers and these bodies say short, I'm hot, and you're not. But if you want to hang with me, I'll give it one shot. Top that. I'm hot, and you're not. But if you want to hang with me, I'll give it one shot. Top that. Top that. You can do all that you can, but you'll never top that. Top that. So top that.
Supersonic, idiotic, disconnected, not respected. Who would ever really want to go and top that? Such a waste of pretty face, but hanging in your nose space. I wish that you would take a look and really stop that. Top that. Well, stop that. I don't really give up about trying to top that. I wish you'd finally take a real look and really stop that.
What's this?
Stop that.
Again.
Stop that. I don't really give a about trying to stop that.
Top that.
Big deal.
Stop that.
Unreal.
You can try until you blue.
I will make a fool of you.
Top that.
Woo. Top that.
Hey, Brian.
Yes?
Check this out.
Hey, Rick. How's it going, man? It's going. How are you doing?
You look pretty tired. I think you should sit down.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Take a seat. Oh, we got you, man.
Oh, Mark, we forgot to put the whoopee cushion down.
Oh, that was me just making a noise. Oh. Well, let me try it again. Hey, Rick, you look pretty hungry now that you sat down. Are you famished? Do you want some of these non-brand mixed nuts I have here?
Oh, I'd love some.
Yeah, all right.
Can I have some?
Mark, put that away.
Oh, sorry. I'm wearing the wrong jeans today. This isn't going well, Brian.
It's the pleats.
Oh, well, one ditch effort. Hey, Rick, you look famished. Maybe
I am pretty
nice
hungry.
Stick of gum.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Bing.
Ah, my fingernail.
Why did you rip his fingernail off? At least give him the piece of gum now.
You have to be more masochistic in your jokes. It's the 2010s.
Oh, I miss the good old days.
Top that.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast, and join us next time for our next full movie reviews. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes, and when you do, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby pranksters!